CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, here you are, and you are ready to fulfill the important instructions given to you by Silili yesterday during his umpteenth presidential address. Dun, 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 dun. Were you very excited to hear yesterday that the president was going to address us? Were you sitting there with bated breath, really, really thrilled to get yet another address from him? The man who's meant to lead. We are led, people. We are led. And did you feel afterwards like you had had your desires fulfilled by Cyril in his extraordinary little speech? Now, I will admit, this is the first one that I didn't even bother to switch the TV on, or I was already in bed last night at that time. And although I wasn't asleep, because I knew what would happen was that some of my more busybody friends would do what people do now after these things happen, is they send you little infographics that have been prepared by the presidency. And lo and behold, I didn't have to watch any of that crap because it all came to me in good time. I got the. So tell me if I missed anything, but basically, we stay at level 3, still no alcohol sales, curfew has changed slightly, so it's from 9 p.m. at night until 5 p.m. in the morning, so you can...
5 a.m.,
sorry, in the morning. We can wake up a little bit earlier, and people can get to work a little bit earlier, so we can all start doing things at 6, which was always a very stupid thing that it was determined to be 6 o'clock, because it meant most places could only get cracking at like 7, 8. So thankfully that's been changed. But otherwise, he was talking mostly about vaccines and stuff, right?
Some land ports being closed, 20 of them affected. And
yeah, so in other words, if you're rich and you can fly in, you're still good. But if you're poor and you're coming across the border in Zimbabwe or whatever, tough titties, you're going to be suffering because they're going to restrict those severely, so.
Oh, and then you had a big chunk about funerals and how funerals are and the number of people at funerals. Yeah, that was a thing again.
Again, hit the poor people. Nice. So, does it affect you at all if you didn't watch it like I didn't watch it and you didn't get the infographics and you didn't get the updates from all your friends? Does it make any difference to you?
I think it depends on the type of person you are, because I spoke to a friend of mine after the address, and I had zoned out after the president had spoken about, you know, the change in curfews and how we're still staying in this level. So I thought, okay, there aren't going to be any changes. That's the biggest thing he's going to announce. So I zoned out. But this friend of mine was so interested in vaccines. He was actually quite seriously annoyed by the fact that prisoners are going to be part of the second group that gets vaccinations. And he says, you know, my grandmother is, you know, has been a responsible citizen of this country, and now she will still be at risk, but a prisoner will get to get the vaccine first. I thought, oh, sorry, I actually don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, one of the groups that's been prioritized is prisoners. Now, I suppose let's be fair, that's just the ANC looking after its own. So that's why.
What do you mean by its own?
Oh, I mean, all the crooks in the country are definitely ANC people. So they're just making sure their own people are looked after.
Wow.
So that's what that is.
Just for, yeah, well, Jacob Zuma, etc., who hopefully...
Those people are all going to end up in jail, and then they're going to be desperate for vaccines. So it's just it's part of ANC policy, is like, look after the comrades who are going to be in prison. So that's what they're going to do. And also their own people, old age homes, because that's where most of the ANC cadres who have retired or have not gone to prison are, is they're in old age homes. In fact, I think everybody in cabinet, with the possible exception of maybe Fikile Mbalula, is over the age of 70 anyway. So
I was going to say that's an insult to old age homes. I would bet the ministry and the presidency is actually older than the average age of most old age homes.
Yeah, that's true. No,
as African politics goes.
That's true, yeah. So they're just looking after their own people. That's why. Don't get all beat up about it. What did you think would happen? You think they wouldn't look after their own people? Don't be stupid. This is the ANC we're talking about, everybody. So, Mary says, yebo, 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 yebo. Happy New Year, you guys. I hope this year no one reminds us that Sia shat in his pants. Please, love the show so much. There we go. Mary just bringing in the good stuff straight up. Venetia says, my six-year-old watched the speech with us last night and said, oh, the president has an iPad. I wonder what games he has on there. Pretty much.
Very important question.
Good question. JP says, when I saw him sitting, I was like, oh, this is just an update and it's not serious. So you see, this is something we figured out on the show. And I don't want to give credit to the wrong person, but let's call it a communal idea, which has proven to be right time and time again. That when the president stands up.
Yeah.
Then we know we're in for something serious. When he sits down, it's not so serious. And that's exactly what we found out a couple of weeks ago. And ever since then, this theory has been as sound and as right as rain.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
So do you have people that are like uber upset or within your friendship circle?
No.
Or they just be
around?
Just like I know one or two people who I had to just... I told them to just relax. Don't call me for a while. Just keeping upset every time Cyril says something. And I'm talking like my friends are upper middle class. So we know I'm not going to pretend to be upset on people's behalf. Like it's obviously awful for a massive number of people. Like, yeah, so I'm not discounting that. But like my friends who live, you live in Danefern, Morningside, Foray.
Yeah. So in other words,
please.
Yeah, those people. But those people's lives are not really going to be affected adversely in massive ways, like someone who, let's say, they work in a Shebeen or something.
Yeah.
And now they haven't been at work and they're going to be laid off soon if they can't get back to work. You're right.
Awful. That's awful. But what I'm saying is, I'm just talking about like my friends or your friends, and like, hey, I hang out with. I'm not gonna apologize for that.
And don't make excuses. And the worst that you can do is pretend that you also have, like, I have poor friends. No, you don't.
Yeah, I'm a man of the people. I'm a man of the people. Just you know, the pain of this country is the Rainbow Nation. Spare me. Like my friends who are like in and around. There's just some people where I literally had to tell one of my friends, don't call me for 2 weeks. I don't want to talk to you because it's like, what are you upset about? I can't go to a restaurant. Get your life together.
Yeah.
Like, get your life together. Honestly, like, and you're not spending time by yourself.
Listen, the whole thing, and we even spoke about this on the TV show yesterday. I feel a little bit bad about this, but I've got COVID fatigue. I am over talking about this disease, and almost every morning it inevitably comes up and we end up talking about some aspect of it. And I hope that you aren't bored with the show, but I'm bored with COVID. I'm bored with talking about it all the time. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think there are lots of us who are. So we're not going to make it a rule, but we're going to try and talk about other things in life too. And we do. So it's not like that's a constant thing that's all we're talking about on the show. But it is inevitable that that's part of what our existence comprises of now. So we have to make a mention of it. But it doesn't need to be the thing for every day.
Right. So I'd like to know what you think of this. So my friend in particular, she got a little bit upset when I
This is not the same one that you make cry all the time, Bulalo.
Well, she was the one whose friend cried the time when I... Yeah, yeah. So she's... I've known her for 29 years. She's like my oldest friend. Our old men used to work together. But anyway, so I gave her some advice, and I can feel myself becoming my mother. And I said to her, listen, my mom always says this. Like, she always says it. She says, listen here, if you're a grown-up, here is the reality of life. Is if you cannot change your situation, you must change yourself. Right? That's what grown-ups learn, is if you cannot control your situation, you must change yourself. And all it's telling me is how some of these people I can't see is that there's something wrong with you. Like, that you are broken or you're not willing to look at yourself and say, there are parts of me, this inability to spend time by yourself, be in your own space, there are parts of me, and it exists in all of us, and I'll never forget these words because my mom still says it to me like I'm five now. If you cannot change your situation, change yourself. And people that are showing an inability to do that is you're still children. You're a child.
For a lot of people, though, I'd say that now it's a lot of people. There's a good chunk of people who are so unaware of themselves.
Yeah.
And their situations. Some people just don't have the ability, or rather don't put an effort to have the ability of examining their lives and what is happening. Some people just feel so overwhelmed and everything is
Let's be honest. I mean, like, most people are so self-unaware that they don't even realize they're taking up space or blocking the queue. I walked into the shops the other day, okay, and I took a trolley because I had to do my, I don't know, it's every 2 weeks I do a, like, basic grocery shop. And, you know, the stuff that expires, like milk and all that kind of thing, you have to go more regularly. But I'm talking about, like, not a major, because I live on my own, so I don't fill up a trolley. But you've got some stuff you need to do. So you know it's going to be a good half an hour at the shops. You get your trolley, go in, sanitizer, all that shit. As I go in, there's a woman just in front of me who's also got her trolley. She's probably in her 60s, maybe 70s. I don't want to, you know, she doesn't look very old, but you can see she's kind of past middle age. Anyway, we just go through the little entrance of the shop, grocery store, and she stops as you turn left to go into, like, fresh produce. Stops her trolley in the middle of the space, blocking anyone who wants to go past, including me, who's right behind her, and bends over to look at, I don't know, the quality of the tomatoes, and she wants to now inspect this thing, but she has no self-awareness that she's already caused a traffic issue, because now I'm going, okay, well, I can't stop behind her, because if I stop behind her, there's going to be traffic coming in after me shortly. And so I have to divert, and I decide, well, I'll come and get the fresh produce later. I'll start off over there. It's not a big deal. Didn't upset my day. It's not going to ruin my life. But this woman is a typical example of the kind of person who just is – it's like people who – you drive somewhere. Did this yesterday to go and do the TV show. And there are people who are blissfully unaware that they're cruising along at 50 or 60 kilometers an hour in the fast lane. And when you drive past them in the middle lane, because they're going so slowly, you see that they're on their phone, busy just messaging up a storm in the fast lane. And you're like, don't you understand this? You're going to die, or someone else is going to die, because you're doing two stupid things. You're on your phone.
They're just wrapped up there.
Yeah, you're totally in your own world. Nobody else matters. You're on your phone, and you're in the fast lane, and you're not meant to be doing either. And I can see this is a problem, and you're like, well, this is going to cause traffic. But that's the best-case scenario. The worst-case scenario is it's going to result in someone's death. No idea, hey? Ndogozo says, quite rightly, spatial awareness is a real skill. For some reason, it is worst in KZN. Do you agree, Sia?
I think that's a reach. I don't know what you're trying to say. Did Shaka Zulu not have spatial awareness?
I don't know what spatial awareness is worse than KZN.
It's the humidity. It's the humidity. Yeah. Everyone knows.
Dogozo, you need to explain why you think it's worse than KZN. I want to hear.
But Gareth, and to your point, Mbulelo, I think of a message like we received yesterday from a listener named Ange, who spoke about her mother-in-law, who called them ignorant for contracting COVID-19 because she then can't see her grandson. Mm-hmm. To me, we have a society of a lot of people like that. She just said it, and she means it. You know, how dare you? You are so ignorant because I can't see my grandson.
Yeah,
she's not saying, life has been affected.
And she's not saying that is maybe that one of the family that have contracted this COVID thing, that one of them might suffer quite badly. But she's not worried about that. It's all how it impacts her. It's me, 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 me.
Yeah, so before we even try to look at broken people who have been through things that have altered them as people, no, we just have self-focused, self-centered people who are not aware about how to even deal with things.
Yeah, no, this is why I always tell you, you know, and again, I had another conversation with another person who, for me, as soon as somebody starts saying, I feel, I say, stop. Because what you're telling me, as soon as somebody says, I feel, cares, it means I want to stop thinking.
Yeah.
Every time somebody, just listen to your friends when they start saying, I just feel, I
say, in other words, pay attention to what people say. Because, you know, if you want to get very deep and meaningful about this, the words you choose to use, the term spelling means casting spell. It doesn't just mean how you spell a word. And when you use a certain sentence, you are casting a spell. This is what people used to believe. And it meant something. When you say something, you're actually putting words into the universe and they can start doing their magic. Okay? And if you say something like, I feel X, Y, and Z all the time, what you're really saying is, I'm not thinking. And when you say, I think, and a lot of people start sentences with I think or I feel. And usually that tells you a huge amount about that person. And there's nothing wrong with I feel, Mbulelo. You just hate the feeling type of thing. There are a lot of people who start with I think who never put any they don't do any of the feeling, which sometimes can be tremendously helpful in a situation. So just listen to people, because when they say I feel, you know where it's coming from. When they say I think, I know where it's coming from. It's useful to know.
Here's my issue, right? It's this. Is the fact that you're feeling...
It's
right?
Your issue. My issue. Mm-hmm. We're also seeing that. Carry on.
Stop thinking the fact that you say, I feel, means now you're... You know, there's it correlates with I'm right. Is just because you feel something...
No.
I don't care. That's not the primary thing. Is it true? So do you actually have the right to be upset? Let's start at, is it true? Then as a secondary factor, so the primary truth, let's get to, and there's lots of ways to get to the proper truth. We use something called largely in thinking, we call it the Socratic method. And you've used it unwittingly before to decipher whether your boyfriend's cheating, blah, blah, blah. It's called the Socratic method of truth to whittle down whether somebody's telling the truth or not. You can go and look up that method. So first, is it true? And then I'm going to worry about how you feel about it. So people think, I'm going to tell you my feelings first.
In other words, your starting point is wrong.
Because you're priming me. There's something in psychology called priming. Don't do that.
No.
Don't do that. It's manipulative people, won't have it.
I wonder how many people are ahead on New Year's resolutions. I mean, it's the 12th of January already, and this is something that people do, is they set up a whole bunch of goals for themselves. They call them New Year's resolutions, and they start to do them. And I'm not talking about the obvious stuff here. I mean, you know, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to do exercise every day. By the way, we do have one of those things coming up a little bit later on. It's on my list, and maybe it becomes something that's on your list. The one thing for the week, which we'll touch on at 25 past, which is like in a minute or so. But I want to hear from you on that front too, because New Year's resolutions are a big deal. I know Bulelo hates this stuff because people just, again, they lie. They say these things and then nothing happens, and it drives him crazy. So there he is feeling and getting upset because people are saying things and doing things, right?
If you can't lose weight in December, you're not going to do it in January. I've just never enjoyed this method of approaching life since I became an adult, which hasn't been very long. But now it's like who I am on the 15th of December is who you're going to be on the 21st of February. So just stop setting yourself up for failure. Like, again, I have these friends, right? And honestly, I think it's a upper middle class thing. Mm. So I think that's why it irks me, because it's in my life so much that I'm like, what are you talking about? I saw you boozing it up a month ago. What do you think you're now going to become Ronnie Coleman?
Yeah, so, something like that.
But I mean, part of that was one of my little things this year is I committed every Monday I'm going to call my mom at a certain time, you know, and not as a resolution. I just decided, listen, if you're into this family relation thing, is that's one of my things. Not as a resolution is that's what I'm doing now. So I'm not like, oh, it's 2021. That's what I do now. Certain time, Monday, I'm not going to set meetings ever again. I'm calling my mom. That's our family time, and I'm going to be deliberate about it. But I wanted to know, as a part of the two, like, you know, coming into this new year, it's a different new year for all of us.
Yeah.
For people as a resolution.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no. The last one thing for the week that we came up with was almost similar to that in some ways, because it was that you must sort out a problem. You must go and resolve an issue, that a long-standing issue with someone in the family, and you must communicate with them and try to fix it. It's not always going to be guaranteed to work, but the idea for last week's one thing for the week was that you would put away a problem, a family feud, and it didn't have to be family. It could be, you know, it could be someone in the extended family. It could be a friend. It could be someone you haven't spoken to for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And that was our plan. And we actually got some really interesting feedback from a few people. And those people said that they were going to try regardless. They were going to put some effort into now not maintaining this family feud that was going on. So I think that's a great place to start. If you haven't started that already, then maybe you'll start to think about it now. And we'd like to hear, if you have any ideas for this, by the way, I'd also like to hear from you what you think we could be doing as a part of this rollout to get ourselves in order. So there are a couple of things, and for this morning's one, I've chosen one or two that you might like to do. I'm going to give you an option on this one. So all right, let me just get my shit together here. Hold on 1 second. I need to get my notes. Just hold on.
Let me make notes.
Yeah, that's okay. Get my pad.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that we need to.
Like being in school.
I think I need to make notes.
Oh, okay. Oh my God, are you feeling?
What's that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You've got my attention.
Okay, yeah. I've actually made notes and things here. All right. So here it is. This is really a cool one. Now, today you're going to write to someone. Could be your local counselor. It could be someone in the military. It could be a politician of the national politics order. And you're going to write to them, and you're going to say something either that they're doing right and thank them for it. Like, let's say your neighborhood has you've noticed it doesn't have any leaks in the water system, or you've noticed that they've planted some trees in your neighborhood or whatever. Let's just imagine you live in a nice neighborhood. I know it's not. For some people, this is an impossible thing to imagine. But if that has happened, it would be really nice if you just wrote them a note. And it would be easy to find out who your local counselor is, believe it or not, because there are...
Do you?
Well, I mean, first things first, I'm on the local WhatsApp group, although I've muted it, and you can find the people on there, for example. They also, sometimes they send an email around if they're very organized. Otherwise, you can actually go to the local city council and... should be pasted on the door there. You can get an email address from all of those different places. But actually send them a note to say, hey, listen, I'm with you all the way. You're doing great work. If you don't feel that that's appropriate in your area, let's say it's all shit and you actually don't want to do that, it's boring for you, you don't want to help out the local politicians because you hate them, which is entirely possible in this country, then the next thing is a much easier one. Today, you're going to try some food that scares you. So in other words, you're going to eat something that you have always thought was revolting or that you didn't think you would like and that you were afraid of, and you're going to try it for the first time today or this week. So obviously, it's one thing for the week. It's not one thing for the day. So it doesn't have to be today, but by next Tuesday, you will have tried some food that you've never tried before. How do you like them apples?
So I love that one.
Could be like a... let's say you've never ever tried, because I know lots of people who don't. Let's say you've never tried sushi before, then this could be the week to try that. Or if you don't like mohodu, then maybe this is the week to try that.
I actually went shopping yesterday and I walked past exactly what I think I'm going to try this week. Asparagus.
You never had asparagus before. Are you talking about... Okay, because there are different kinds of asparagus here, CS. So I'm going to help you. We're getting into the specifics, but it's worth doing. We've got a second before we get to headlines. All right, so asparagus, you can get more or less three kinds. You're going to get the kind that is in the bottle or the tin. Okay, which is... It's usually,
I've had that.
Yeah, it's very bland. It's not that interesting.
It's war food.
Yeah, it's not great. Although I actually think we have it for Christmas every year. So the last time I had it was probably on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. And you get white ones and you get green ones. So if you want to be safe and boring, do that. But asparagus is not really, it's not going to be a taste that repels and repulses you. So I would suggest you do this. Get some fresh asparagus, okay? Go to the shops, get the fresh stuff. This is the only culinary advice you'll ever get from me on the show, so get ready. Then just cut off the very ends, not the sharp ends, because those ends you can eat, but the stem end, right? Just cut off a tiny piece of that at the end there, because it might have been cut badly. No, listen to this. This is very, very easy.
But it's the idea, guys.
Listen, it's so nice here. You'll love this. And then get some lemon juice, and squeeze that into a pan. Get some butter and put a little bit of butter in the pan, and you just put the asparagus stalks or stems or whatever you want to call them. You put those little things in the pan, and you cook up a few of those in lemon butter. You'll love it. It'll taste lovely.
I'm flabbergasted that she has never had where are you? What do you mean you've never had asparagus? I mean, I have seen what you eat, so it doesn't actually show.
Hey, calm down. Sorry. It's not going to become a character assassination. Sorry. It's just never appealed to me. It's the look of it. It's the straw-likeness of it. And then it's, you know, what sort of flavor isn't something that's lanky? But my sister loves it, and she had so much of it over December. But okay, I'll try it.
You're going to try. So you're going to report back to us when you've tried this week. But there we go. So either eat something strange that you've never eaten before, or write a letter to your local counselor, either complimenting them on something that they're doing that's working in your neighborhood, or something that you have an idea for that you're willing to help them with. I mean, it may end up being the beginning of something really cool in your particular community.
Gareth, you have set me a challenge here, because I have eaten some things which would make your skin crawl. Ugh. I know you're a pet, you're a pet owner, and I've been to China, and I've eaten some things. I've had a snake, I've had a tortoise, I've had a cat, I've eaten dog. I've eaten crocodile. I really have to think about this. I like this, because
I want to know. I want to know by next Tuesday what you've come up with. You've got to eat something that you are frightened by. And if you can't do it, Mbulelo, if it's too difficult, then write a letter to your local counselor, either way. All right. You don't have to do both. Just do one. So there we go. All right. Sia, we want a video of you trying your asparagus, please. Will you put it on your Instagram or something? Mr. Schmangel, Sia, you'll be able to smell the asparagus when you take a pee the next day. Yes, that's true.
That's another thing I've heard, and that's what has put me off as well.
And apparently asparagus is one of the most expensive things in the fresh produce aisle. I didn't know.
Because it's so nice.
Okay, yeah, I think it's good. Vern says asparagus, pan, butter, honey, pepper, salt, you're welcome. That's from Vern. And Ruth says, I love asparagus. It's great, but you need to have it with tartar sauce or mayonnaise.
Ooh, okay. I don't know about the mayonnaise thing, but asparagus is so nice. It's like, you know, some things when they hit the palate, it's just like, oh, this is good, and it's good for me.
No, that's not.
Chocolate, sugar, anything with potassium.
You see, you heard the first part. I said, it is good and good for me.
All right.
Chocolate is good, yeah.
Let's do some headlines for the morning, see what's going on over there. So, where do we begin with headlines? Let's start off with this story from EWN, the Zondo Commission. Guess what? That's still going ahead. It started up again. They on Monday heard how Scarlet Sky Investments had no prior experience in diamond mining, and that even after it was appointed, no beneficiation was done. In other words, this just shows you how the ANC's patronage networks work. because Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo wants a chartered accountant who headed the Risk and Audit Committee of state-run diamond miner Alex Corr to explain why allegations against Gupta-linked Scarlet Sky investments were never investigated. Well, we all know, but Judge Zondo doesn't. The State Capture Commission learnt how Scarlet Sky Investments had no prior experience in diamond mining, and that even after they were appointed, they did no beneficiation, which is a nice word for actually giving something back to the people who work in that community, or to the town itself, or to the people who are deep underground, who usually just work and then get a pittance of a salary. No beneficiation was done. Surprise, surprise. And Gavin Craythorne is the guy who was from their long-term contractor, because, of course, Scarlet Sky Investments was just a shell that the Guptas owned. It didn't actually employ any people or do anything. It was just a vehicle for them to siphon off state funds. So this guy claimed he was locked out. His contract was cancelled when he asked who was behind Scarlet Sky Investments. Surprise, surprise. So they were again shocked to hear how the board never took allegations against Scarlet Sky Investments seriously. And it was all who but our former Minister of Finance. Yes, you heard about it. What's his name? Malusi Gigaba.
Oh, imagine this in your mouth.
Galanda Wagon legend.
That's the one.
The G-Wagon machine.
That's the one. So there's some more information about the kind of stupidity and thievery and skullduggery that is going on in our ANC. Your ANC. My ANC. Hashtag. What is their stupid slogan again? Building a better life for all.
All who
are well connected, that is all. Okay, in Durban, the KwaZulu-Natal Health Department said they're investigating the circumstances around a disturbing video that was filmed at Wentworth Hospital. In the video, a dead body is shown lying next to several patients waiting to be helped. The video went viral over the weekend. Health Department says the video was filmed on the 22nd of December, a particularly busy day for the hospital. In the background, a woman can be heard screaming for help. KZN MEC for Health, Nomagugu Similani Zulu, said that the investigating unit is looking at the issue, but she's criticized the recording of the incident. Oh, of course. The problem isn't that this is happening in our hospitals. The problem is that you people are sharing it. Who are you ordinary people to be doing this on your phone? Don't record our incompetence. That's what she's saying.
Yeah, the issue isn't the incompetence, the indignity of it. Why is it happening?
No, she's using the excuse. She says that this breaches the issue of doctor-patient privilege. Doctor-patient privilege, honey, is when the doctor and the patient are talking to each other about the patient's condition in private. But if some crap is going down in the corridors of your hospital and there's more than the doctor and the patient there, that's not doctor-patient privilege. That's you and your incompetence.
She has no idea. Like that, if that doesn't tell you someone's incompetent, especially about something as important as medical practice, shut the hell up.
Especially during a pandemic, which is all over the news every day. Get your shit together, you useless minister. Useless MEC. So,
but thanks for showing us who you are. You're a moron.
Correct. China says that the WHO team to probe COVID-19 origins will arrive on Thursday. Who believes, who's dumb enough to believe that the World Health Organization is going to be given free access to do all the research they need to come up with the story of the origin of the coronavirus? Man. Who believes that for a second? I didn't think so. Wait, hang on. Wait. No, I didn't think so. There's no one who believes that. Not one person on earth with a brain is at the moment going, oh, fantastic. The WHO in China are going to tell us the truth. Yeah, if you thought that was going to happen, you probably also believe in Fairy Tinkerbell, the Tooth Fairy,
yes.
Father Christmas.
Bigfoot. That Virgos are good lovers.
Yeah, Bigfoot. And that Donald Trump is actual president of the United States, and there's going to be, you know, they're going to arrest Hillary Clinton on Wednesday, and then he'll be inaugurated. So you've got to get your shit together. But here's the story. Let's just go along with it. It's from News 24.
Let's humor them.
The World Health Organization have a team of international experts who've been tasked with investigating the origins of COVID-19. They will arrive in China on the 14th of January. And a lack of authorization from Beijing had delayed the arrival of the 10-man strong team on a long-awaited mission to investigate early infections in what China's foreign ministry has called a misunderstanding. National Health Commission, which announced the arrival date, delayed from its early January schedule, did not detail the team's itinerary, however. The chief of the WHO, Tedros Ghebreyesus, welcomed the news and said that the studies would begin in the central city of Wuhan, where the first human cases were identified. We look forward to working closely with our Chinese counterparts in this critical mission to identify the virus source and its route of introduction to the human population, Tedros said on Twitter. Yeah. Let's leave that right where it should. Let's throw that in the dump with all the other bullshit for the week and ignore everything that comes from it. Okay? Capital riots. They're now going to do investigations into trying to find out who the people were who were involved in storming the Capitol. And the FBI are warning of the possibility of armed protests being held across the U.S. in the days before Joe Biden is sworn in as president.
This is just a story that will not end, hey?
No, and, you know, now suddenly it's becoming very convenient for people to sweep everybody who didn't support Joe Biden under the same brush. And that's going to happen, too, which is going to be ridiculous. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be sworn in outside of the building, as is usual, 2 weeks after it was the site of a deadly raid by, of course, there were people who died, but no more people than died during the protests for Black Lives Matter and, you know, the rest of them in the middle of last year. More people died in those, but this is deadly, deadly. This is so deadly. Of course, it's a great embarrassment to the United States that the building of their legislature should have been attacked in this way. It's a deeply disturbing visual image, which I don't think many of us were prepared for in the first couple of days of 2021, but it happened. And now it's going to be used by both of the sides in this political argument, the Trump supporters and by the Biden supporters, as proof of whatever they're trying to prove. So we'll see,
Gareth,
what happens. They're trying to impeach him. I mean, he's got like 9 days left or 8 days left of his presidency, and they're trying to impeach him because that's really important. Stupid, stupid.
Sorry, Sia had a question. Yeah, Sia had
Tell
a question.
Me if this is an over-exaggeration, but what exactly, you know, one of the things I've been thinking about is people actually made it into the Capitol and were in offices where they are. There's, you know, laptops and files, sure, and whatnot. Is there any sort of fear of some things having been stolen or some information being leaked? Like, I don't think we've spoken about that.
I don't know. What? I don't know. But there were, I mean, there were pictures of people like sitting on Nancy Pelosi's desk, and there's a guy with the.
She doesn't just have the social calendar of what's going to happen at the Capitol in her office.
You know? So I can tell you just from a little experience from a woman who I spent 9 months inside of, who had a laptop that was encrypted to another level, that, trust me, you're going to need to be... none of those guys look like the brightest of sparks. I can't imagine.
No.
To break into Nancy Pelosi's laptop, you're going to need to be Elon Musk's like tech advisor.
Unless her password is fuck Trump. Which it probably was.
No, live, love, laugh.
Yeah,
but also,
maybe.
Oh, calm down, okay.
Or also my password, my dentures don't fit properly.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, listen, I mean, this whole story.
But I also get, as soon as you would try to hack into a laptop like that, you'd get, you know.
So now, of course,
in 2 seconds.
Now, of course, everybody's worried about security, and the biggest danger in the world is from a handful, probably 100, maybe a few more than 100 of the people who stormed the Capitol, who were unsuccessful and stupid in their attempt. But now, of course, everybody's on high alert because it's convenient to make it seem like you're in some existential threat. because it makes Trump look as dangerous as you've been telling us he is. I mean, it's embarrassing, but I don't think that I don't think it's a serious threat. Just in case you were worried, the Capitol Police, who were so effective on the day of that that storming of the Capitol, the Capitol Hill Police, very, very competent bunch of people, those, they're going to deploy 3 extra men on the day of the inauguration to make sure that they don't have any problems there. I'm being sarcastic, so, but I wouldn't
300,
be
300,000.
Because that will make a world of difference, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So just quickly, while we're on this story that's never ending, and hopefully it does soon, the people are saying that The Simpsons have done it again, The Simpsons, the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
They predicted this raid on the U.S. Capitol. So it is from an episode in 1996.
Unreal.
The episode is titled The Day the Violence Died. And the premise of this particular episode is that the U.S. made a change to the Constitution that made it legal for policemen to beat those liberal freaks, inverted commas. And that the amendment was held up at the Capitol Hill steps, and then people saw that, and there was a major riot after that. So what people are particularly looking at, screenshots of what's he called? Groundkeeper Bill or something?
Yes.
Groundkeeper Willie.
Willie.
Yes, Willie. And how Willie had painted his face and has this hat on with horns as well. And he looks particularly like one of the rioters. So people are going, The Simpsons have done it. They predicted it.
I think The Simpsons, there's obviously Nostradamus or someone else in The Simpsons writing group who's been helping them with their storylines. Very, very, very
there's
curious.
There's something going on there. Yeah, this at least, it follows up. The latest thing that they predicted was from last year, but I think this was quite easy to look at. Last year, they had an episode that featured what the 2021 inauguration would look like, the day of the inauguration, and it was like violence everywhere and police running out with guns. But I mean, it was written last year. They could have easily just thumbsucked that. But yeah, it follows on The Simpsons crediting things like murder hornets. Remember that story
happened
from early last year? Trump being president. So who knows? Who knows what happens in that writing room?
Well, here's a story out of Turkey, where a Turkish court on Monday sentenced a Muslim televangelist. I didn't know that we had Muslim televangelists. So you see, this particular sort of of television personality, and usually they're obvious because of the way that they're constantly wheedling you out of your cash. Now they're Muslim varieties of these people, these televangelists. He surrounded himself with scantily clad women he called kittens to more than 1,000 years. He was sentenced to 1,000 years in jail for sex crimes. His name is Adnan Oktar, and he used to preach creationism and conservative values while having women in the background in revealing outfits. Isn't that just the funniest thing? You've got conservative values, and you've got creationism, and then you've got women who are scantily clad. And many of these women appeared to have had plastic surgery and danced around him to upbeat music in the TV studio.
No one on his team, including him, thought this was a bad idea.
People love this. People love this stuff.
You know, if the lockdown has showed us anything, religion and politics, the cretins of this earth will always be attracted to those two things. And if you can't see it now, nobody can help you. As they would say, God bless you for the rest of your life.
C and I were getting ready for the show yesterday, the TV show, and we were watching this guy who calls himself Apostle something or another, and he was being interviewed. And it was so funny.
Holy Water Ministries.
Holy Water of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead ministries. You know, something like
Hallelujah.
That. And he was wearing, I suppose, some priestly shirt or color or whatever, but he had his shoes on and he'd just been released from jail. And they'd taken out the shoelaces, and this was a big part of the story. So the reporter said, yes, thank you, Apostle. And if we look at your shoes and the camera pans down, we can see that you don't have your shoelaces anymore because they took those away in case you tried to hang yourself in prison.
Yeah, this is a reporting of what's happening in Cebu Gang after there was like violence on Sunday and police raided and whatnot.
Yeah.
And there was also a moment the apostle was getting into it and talking about how unfortunate things were at the church. And then Masejo, the reporter, goes, "Sorry, apostle, just put your mask on, please. Just put your mask on over your nose, please. Thank you."
But so Sia and I were talking, like, we should have really, instead of starting CliffCentral.com 6.5 years ago, we should have started something apostle of the Lord, blah, 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 and forgiveness and love ministries, Incorporated PTY Limited or whatever, because we could have made so much money. We would have had a much bigger audience than we have. And we could have just been flying around in private jets, could have bought an island by now. We could have, really, we missed the ball completely. So I feel like
it would have been perfect. Plus, Garrett, you guys could have swapped out your pictures because, you know, some people, you've got the blonde hair, like blue-eyed Jesus look. If some people are Pan-African, you bring Sia's photo in for black Jesus.
Right.
It would have been amazing. It's a bulletproof business model.
This is it. I feel like we really missed a game. We missed a trick here in this game.
Trick,
completely.
But before we move on, I just wanted to ask, why? So is Donald Trump banned on Twitter and social platforms now for life, or like what's happening there? Is it just temporarily suspended?
I think it might just be a bit of virtue signaling, and they might let him back off because he's been really important to Twitter's stock price. I mean, I don't know if you saw this, but
interesting to see.
But Twitter has lost $5 billion in market value since they banned Trump. And I don't know that that's something that they want because, you know, Twitter is it's still kind of sketchy exactly what their business model is. And Donald Trump was easily the most famous Twitter user in the world. And his Twitter account was followed by some 80, 90 million people or something. So just from a business point of view, if they want to get back in business, they'll have to find some excuse to put him back on. In the meantime, who knows? But it turns out that the French and the German governments have expressed their concern that he was banned and think that it's a bad idea and have advised that Twitter needs to put him back. Out. Well, you see, that's sensible because
she's Merkel. You know this.
You can't have – she's unemotional, so she's not getting –
she's the winner.
She's not getting wrapped up in, like, how you feel about these things. She's like, this is the president of the United States. We would rather hear what he has to say, even if it is crazy, than not know what he is saying because you have got stupid woke people at Twitter who are unable to listen to anything that does not agree with their political point of view. And she's correct. She is correct. You can't shut down the president of the United States of America because you don't agree with him. Even if you are a free company and you are a private company, which Twitter is, because it's bad business. That's why. It's just bad business.
You know what my concern is, and it's quite a serious one, is I'm far left, or I like to think of myself as far left as possible. Or I thought I was until I've recently met certain people.
Yeah. These days I'm starting to wonder if you aren't more right-wing than me and Sia.
But here's my concern, seriously, as a citizen, is, you know, when you look at the path of history and you look back, as, you know, relatively speaking, we're young, is every time in a revolution, be very, very careful about the people that claim they are going to set you free.
Mm.
Because often, more often than not, 99% of the times, your savior is often much, much worse than the dictator that was in before. Yeah. And it's probably why Putin is, all things considered, working in Russia now, is the people kind of knew that what they were getting. Now, as an ordinary citizen, for me, is if they are going to shut up the president of America, right, on a mood, on a whim, because they don't like him.
Well, they're doing it to please their own work staff. They're doing it to try and win a favor and show the people that they're good platforms and they have morals and, you know, they've got an ethical code and... they're just trying to say we're better than Trump. That's what they're trying to say, which, by the way, is no achievement in my book.
But the pitchforks one day, I worry, just as a citizen, is they will turn those pitchforks on me one day.
Well, they're already doing it.
Yeah, they will do it.
Yeah,
and that worries me hugely, hugely, massively.
And I've always been very nervous about the monopoly that, or this oligarchy that is being run from Silicon Valley. Because these are not people who care about you and me and free speech. They care about their bottom line.
I have an agenda.
Yeah. So if you thought that they were your friends and that they, if they care about you, no, you are data to them. You are useful as a data point which they can sell to advertisers. And if you think that you matter to Jack Dorsey or Mark Zuckerberg, you are wrong. All right.
Because
well,
what really do they have truly on the line?
Nothing.
If, you know, yeah, nothing at all.
Nothing.
Worst case scenario for them is Twitter becomes old, we move on to a new platform, they've made millions and billions, so they just go off and they invest in other companies and they live their lives. We'll be the ones who are still stuck screaming at each other.
Totally agree. And that is a big problem. It's not their problem. It is our problem. You, me, and everybody else who uses these platforms. By the way, I don't know whether you know, but Parler is a platform that was set up in opposition to Twitter because Twitter is censoring people left, right, and center, mostly right and center. So they set up Parler, and now all the other platforms, including Apple, which is the operation platform for many people, and Google, which is the other operation platform for a lot of people, are just making it impossible to use the Parler app. So that to me also smacks of a kind of corporate skullduggery, which seems to be isolating any competition for advertising, for eyeballs, for users, and that is not playing fair at all. So you want to see what kind of people you're dealing with? Now you know. Let's see what happens.
I still want to stand in the faith, though, that we're going through all of this mess now and that things are slowly but surely becoming clearer and clearer.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see the truth of people, their sincere agenda, as malicious or as real as they may be. And, you know, we just have to go through this. But we're going to get to a stage in 3, 5, 10 years' time where no one can hide anymore. It's like, oh, yeah. We see. You're just here trying to stir shit, or you're just here trying to make money. Hopefully we'll live in a society like that, because this BS can't be it, man.
Our good friend William Shakespeare has a great way of putting what you just said. He said...
to be or not to be?
He did say that.
Ah.
What's your line?
He said, sweet are the uses of adversity, he said.
Mm-hmm.
So said Shakespeare.
There we go. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And trust me, these tech platforms and tech businesses are seeing what's going on in Washington at the moment. They've been reading the political situation after the last year. I'm just tired of everything being politicized. I really don't care as much as most people do about politics. I've had to as a result of my job. But I'm becoming less and less interested in politics. And if you are one of those people who politicizes everything, then you're probably one of those people I want to cut out of my life at some point. It's just it's just becoming tiresome. All right, it is 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. When we come back, we have got loads of things to talk about in the news. We'll get to all of those. We'll take your thoughts on 079-748-2090. And I also want to get somebody on who's got some really interesting stuff to talk to us about. This having to do with something which we probably could all do more to be aware of and to perhaps start making changes in our own lives. But food waste, and I know this sounds like a ridiculous subject, but you know how much stuff we throw out, how much stuff is expired, how much stuff is still good, because we have such an abundance of food in the world. You know, there was a time where we didn't have shops. People had to grow their own food, and people had to go to the markets to buy the food. And those days are obviously over. Now you walk into a shop, and unless you're in Zimbabwe, like, there's stuff on the shelves, and you can get whatever you want, even when people panic buy toilet paper. Nobody ran out of toilet paper, you know? So we have food waste, and we have such abundance around us. And that leads to a lot of stuff just going off and being thrown out. And there's this guy called Arnold Tanzer, who's the chairman of the board for Chefs with Compassion, and they're going to talk to us about food waste and how many tons of edible food get thrown away every single day and what they're planning to do with that, because they've got a plan. So all of that's coming up and some more. We the best music! CliffCentral.com